Dance. My name is Justin Jones. I'm a dancer and choreographer and also the producer host of this podcast. Talk Dance is a sometimes podcast exploring the Walker Art Center's dance programming through long-form conversations with the creators of the work. For this episode, I spoke with New York choreographer Luciana Achugar about her latest work, Otro Teatro, world premiering at the Walker February 27th. Her work is unique in that it is firmly rooted in concepts and ideas, and yet those ideas are dissolved and metabolized in the body. Or, as she states in her mission, she's attempting to make work with a brain that melted down to the skin, the flesh, the bones, the guts, and the crotch, and with eyes that see without naming and see without knowing. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you do too. Thanks for listening. Luciana Achugar, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with me today about your piece coming up at the Walker, Otro Teatro.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
So from what I've read about the piece, in the descriptions of it, there's this idea that the piece is conceptually taking place inside of a collapsed theater. And I'm wondering if you have in your mind's eye, and as you've been working on the piece, like an image of what that place looks like, and I was curious if you would describe it.
I've seen a lot of images of theaters that have been abandoned, and they're fascinating to me, and it's very evocative of something that used to be a certain way and doesn't, and was no longer able to hold the way it was working. So I guess for me, that image is partly this kind of romantic image of an old curtain and part of the walls crumbling and chairs, audience seats that are missing or broken. That would be like literally the image. I guess to me, conceptually, it relates to the world we're living in right now and how it feels to me that the system that we're living in, our establishment, doesn't feel like it can hold, like it feels like it needs to soften and be a bit more flexible or shift its structures, and how the structures seem to not be holding the way they've been, and how we need, you know, I feel like there are a lot of protests since the Occupy movement and all of that, feel like I've heard a lot the slogan of another way is possible, another world is possible. So I was thinking, oh, another theater is possible. I feel like I started making the work in this imaginary collapsed theater, and that I'm trying to build after, in a kind of post-apocalyptic, almost like everything collapsed and I'm trying to rebuild from scratch in a different way.
I read in this interview that you did with Stacey Dawson when you were in California with Puro Deseo.
Yeah.
And you said this thing, which I think is just totally amazing. You said that in that piece in particular, that your desire was to heal the audience. I just thought that was a really evocative, provocative idea. And I think it speaks to this, you know, from what I know about your work, you're really interested in engaging the audience in a really real way, looking for like connection. And I guess the question is that a feeling that you have with this piece as well, that you're looking to heal the audience?
I think I make work because I think that maybe I can actually affect people and, you know, heal them or touch them or make them think differently or shift their perception. So in this work, like in Puro Deseo, I am hoping or dreaming of the possibility of having a transformation that happens to the audience, that they feel transformed. But I do think that the aspect of healing, I feel like I'm still in this piece, I'm kind of going back to Puro Deseo with that same desire. And so there is a reference to ritual or magic. There's references to that. And I'm even going further and positioning myself as an artist as a kind of shaman. So again, I say that almost embarrassed, but trying to be a kind of completely transparent and honest with it. And I feel like I'm playing with that. What I'm trying to do with myself and hoping that I bring the audience into that transformation with me is to undo my civilized, get rid of my civilized self so that I can unearth, I don't know how I would say it, a more primal way of being in my body, something that is within me that is not Luciana, the socialized, the one that I identify as Luciana, but it's someone that is more animal, more primal. My hope is that I inspire others to be in their body in the way that I'm trying to be myself.
As you are working on this idea of yourself as a shaman, what are the roads that you are following to achieve a shamanistic state or that sort of connection between the spirit world or the universe as we don't understand it, and yourself, your body, and you know, like what? How are you getting there? What kind of things are you trying to get there?
One of the things I've been exploring is this idea of, not the idea, this experience of just practicing in the rehearsal, in the studio, practicing being in pleasure. What it means is instead of, for example, warming up your body as a tool to be ready to dance, it means the practice of letting go of what you think you need and what you think your body wants to do or should do in an organized way, and trying to connect to that your fascia, your connective tissue, your organs, your energy, and just following that. And that often is wanting to go towards pleasure. But also for me, pleasure is a kind of resistance to pleasure is fully experienced. If you fully experience yourself, you can feel pain or pleasure or both most of the time. And I feel like often because pleasure is connected to sex and sex in our culture is connected to sexiness or, you know, also like a kind of selling thing, objectification of yourself or the body, or just this goal-oriented getting laid thing. I feel like because of that, we push that aside, push the sex aspect or sexual aspect of the body aside as a naughty, a bad thing. And I feel like I want to reclaim it also. It's also very sexual, or not very sexual, but there is, in allowing yourself to be in pleasure, you find a kind of erotic sensuality in yourself. And I'm trying to say yes to that as a way of resisting, you know, being objectified or reclaiming that, as especially as a woman, I feel like, you know, on stage, because I feel like if you all of a sudden do something sensual on stage, or that shows that you're enjoying your body, being in your body, right away goes to sexy and like, oh, you're objectifying yourself. So I'm trying to not ignore that, but try to allow myself to do that, but from a different place.
It sounds like it takes a lot of sort of intense inward focus to locate and to experience that and to listen to that. So then what are the ways in which you're building connection through yourself to the audience, to the observer?
That's a really interesting question. I feel like I'm I mean, in a way, it's simple things like I use my feet on the floor, making noise, and giving so much stomping a lot so that it begins to become a vibration so people can feel that vibration themselves. A repetition of a kind of chant that I do. You know, a lot of the connection I feel like is through the sound. And then by beginning, I ended up doing this whole covering of myself. I'm not covered all the time, but I begin covered. And I feel like, although that feels like it's not giving anything to the audience, I feel like I'm trying to say and to allow for them to experience the piece beyond just the visual. So that at the beginning, I cover myself so that they start to feel my presence and hear my voice before they can start to look at shapes and what my body looks like. If you think about like performers that are really engaging, in a way are the ones that are so in their own experience. So I feel like I'm trying to tap into that really subtle way of being that you can be fully lost in your experience, almost in a self-indulgent way, yet still be really generous and giving so that they're also involved in your experience.
I was reading about feel form, and some of the things that you were talking about in reference to that piece, you're talking about craft. Is that something that you feel like you're continuing or still really letting go of? Or how does like the craft of crafting experience, like what is that?
To try to put your way of moving on another body feels so strange. I feel like I can't treat a dancer like a robot or like or just as any or to abuse a kind of power thing. I feel that's wrong inherently. So I start to question, you know, what is this need to want other bodies to move like me or to design? And what I noticed is that when I've been seeing work, that I've started to respond very negatively to see work that looks extremely designed, where it feels like it's almost like the choreographer's ego wanting to show how good they did. I'm more interested in still crafting experience, but from a place that is more conceptual or more the energy of the thing, the room of this, or what I'm more interested in designing or crafting is what kind of experience the audience has, how they experience time. What I think I want to try to do is to shift their relationship to time passing, and I feel like choreography can do that. I feel like I'm going actually in a way with this work, I think, deeper and further into my style, but more in relationship to how I deal with time or in how I experience moving. Maybe I just, my way of working is not through like picking of details of put your finger here or your finger there, but more speaking to the quality, the way of being, the things you're thinking, how long you let yourself do it for. But I'm trying to work from a more instinctive place, because that's what I'm trying to value more in the kind of work I'm making. So I'm trying to also be true to that and work from there.
Okay, two short last questions. The first one is, I just looking at your body of work, it seems to me this piece and the two pieces before it are maybe sort of a departure from this the earlier pieces of work, one of which Walker audiences have seen, Supernatural Return to Love. Is that did I say it right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so one sort of typographical element that seems to denote this new body of work is all capitalization, like caps lock titles. So I'm curious about that impulse, and also that two of these last three pieces have Spanish titles. And I'm curious, I'm just curious what, if you have a feeling about what that's coming from or what your desires are in relation to that.
The Spanish thing is because I'm bilingual by now. I've lived here so long. I truly think in both languages. And like when I thought of Puro Deseo is something that I felt like I couldn't translate because it means something very specific in Spanish and feels different in Spanish. And Otro Teatro sound, yeah, it's like how it sounds and how it looks like that in all caps. I get interested in that. But also, it has to do with, I don't know how to say without sounding angry, but there is something about, in a very small way, a kind of Latino pride and an anger that I still have of like American imperialism. And although it's very complicated because I live here and I have a son that was born here and I love this culture in many ways and feel like I belong to it, I also feel that even just a little thing like putting a Spanish title makes maybe some more Americans have to figure out what does that mean or have to figure out how to say it in Spanish. And it's like a little bit of a push against a normalization of like this English American culture just spreading all over the world, taking over American sitcoms everywhere, Hollywood. And then the capitals, you're right. I mean, that wasn't like a conscious choice. And now, from now on, I'm going to start doing this. But I think because, when I started making my name small with no caps, and that was something I copied. I basically copied from Bell Hooks, this African American writer that does that. And I was really into her books, and she speaks a lot about, you know, feminism and being a African American and about the ego and the author. And to try to remove it, not making yourself so important, and the work that she did that, she was saying to make the work what's important and not her, the author. So I decided I should do the same because that's how I'm thinking about the work. So I guess the work became capitals and my name small.
I was just going to ask really quick the work of Mari Wigman has been a part of your research at all? Because I keep thinking and imagining the pictures of her, the German Expressionist. And her, I only know her work from photographs and what I've read, but I'm curious if you have any connection to her work at all.
Well, more like you're saying, I don't know what I know. I haven't like purposefully done a ton of research on it, but I do, when I have seen, I've seen like small little clips. I think I saw a clip of the one dance she made called Witch Dance.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
Yeah, because yeah. I tend to, you know, again, without doing a conscious decision, I tend to go towards like things that are reminiscent of witches. I go there, but that comes up in improvisation. It's not like I decide to do it. So, I feel like there is some connection. I guess it's to German Expressionism. It's like kind of an allowing yourself to be really, that exaggeration of expression and feeling. Mm-hmm. It's definitely there. But I haven't like researched Mari Wigman and then said, oh, I'm going to do this. But I do feel like I realize when I notice things about what she's done and what those dances that I'm kind of channeling something similar. Mm-hmm. If I was a scholar, I probably would be interested. No, I think it's interesting that to play, I should probably, if I had more time, I'd be doing a little more research on that. Because it's interesting how I have made jokes, for example, not about Mari Wigman, but about Martha Graham, how trying to be like, Release meets Martha Graham or something like that. I feel like I came from that, you know, I feel like I became a dancer, came of age as a dancer, I guess, through the lineage of Churchill Brown, you know, like studying all of that and the Judson Church and postmodern release technique. But then got interested to go back to a more feeling place and a more, somewhere that took me back to earlier modern dance for sure.
Well, I could talk to you forever. I love talking to you about your work. It's really compelling and interesting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the piece at the Walker in just, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Oh, I guess it's a month. Oh, it's today, the 27th, a month from today. February 27th is the opening, yeah.
I wish you all the best as you have this last time to finish it up.
Thank you. Thank you. It was great talking to you, Justin.